Hey, everybody, what's going on? Happy Monday to you and yours. We're here for a special good time interview with a Hall of Fame member of Totally German Radio, the one and only Mr. Mark Gus Scott. We're going to get into it in a few seconds. But before we do, I just got to let everybody know today's shows. We've got a couple advertisers on today's shows. The first one is Todd Barrow Music. Todd Barrow is a Texas country artist, and he offers modern country with a mix of traditional sound. He is a singer-songwriter who has racked up more than a few accolades, from the PRSA Award of Excellence to an award of Best Country Album. Also made an appearance on Good Morning Texas. Todd is heating up the airwaves and has won audiences around the world. So go visit him today at his website, toddbarrowmusic.com, or check out his social medias on Twitter and Facebook. It's Todd Barrow Music. And on Instagram, it's Todd Barrow Music 1. And tune in tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern as we do an interview with Todd Barrow as well. And always, each and every one of our episodes is brought to you by Next Home Brandywine in Downingtown, Pennsylvania. Dan Peasy and his team of professional realtors, they provide you with guidance, knowledge, and information for all buyers and sellers. Go to nexthomebrandywine.com for all the details or to contact an agent directly. They service Philadelphia and the surrounding counties, but nationwide referrals are available. Be sure to ask for the NH5 listing special or just give them a call directly at 484-364-4862. That's 484-364-4862. And don't forget to tell them Totally Driven Entertainment sent you. And now, here he is, the man who's been heating up not only the airwaves always around here, but Blabbermouth, Brave Words, and everywhere freaking else. The one and only Mark Gus Scott. And hanging out with us today, somebody who I really don't get to see that much anymore, the man in the middle, the one and only, Mr. Sick Nick Wilkinson.
What's up, guys?
Nick, great to see you, baby. Babe, thanks so much for having me, brother. Always a pleasure. Totally Driven Radio, kicking butt, and now TV. Hey.
We are truly now TV.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You're making strides. You've taken this thing to a whole new level. I'm so proud of you. Kicking ass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, dude. Thank you. And we got some other things I'm working on, so you stay tuned because there are going to be more announcements, hopefully in the coming month.
Here to stand by anytime. You know that, my friend.
Absolutely. And so, you know, there's some stuff that, you know, of course, it's been being said from other members of your band, Trickster, Steve Brown and PJ Farley, which actually I interviewed over the last few weeks. And before we get into that, I want to catch up with you. Like, it's hard to believe the last time that we actually talked on here, it was freaking 5 months ago.
Was it that long?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, time does fly. This year particularly is really weird. This has been the strangest. September flew by. I look at the date the other day. I'm like, oh, my God, it's already going to be October. I mean, how crazy is that? Right. So, believe me, I know where you're at. The time, this year has been extraordinarily strange. So,
yeah, it's just weird. Like, you know, this whole pandemic thing, like, it's been, like, you know, bad for things because everything's shut down and all. But it's also like I've been enjoying it. I've been enjoying the, shall we say, reset of life, so to say.
You know, I think we've become in tune with something over here as well. We used to go out a lot on weekends and stuff like that, and riding motorcycles. One thing I think we try to do, I have this core group of five guys that I hang with in the Phoenix area. And one thing we wanted to do is not allow all this craziness of media, you know, promoted whatnot and political this, that. Whether their masks were required and places were closed. To us, we didn't want to let that matter. We had each other. We went out. We still rode our motorcycles, and we went to our buddy's house. We'd have a pool party, and we'd rip it up and have a great time. And those are the things that we realized, this is what we truly value, and you can't take that away. You know what I'm saying? You keep your head on straight. Don't let the outside influences really overdo you, bring you to a place where you don't want to be, where people are dreading life. You make it for yourself. And I think when we have this core individual, I think you got to not lose touch with the people that keep you going. And when you capitalize on that, when you actually value that, you know, that's something very special. And I think that's something we all have to just keep in mind. And maybe I think this whole pandemic thing was a little catalyst for us to say, hey, wake up. let's really get in tune with what really matters in life. And I think that's something very, very important that everybody should get into.
I agree, man. Like I know me personally, like was going, you know, nonstop, you know, with the whole work grind and all the other grinds and life grind. And then it just got put on hold and everything slowed down and got to really focus on the true things in life that are important in your heart for once, you know, not things that you're forced to do.
Agreed. 100%. Yeah. No one should. There are things in life we have to do. And there's things in life that we want to do. If you can find something that captures both categories in one, that's a win-win all the way around, you know, kind of like playing in a rock and roll band. But
Absolutely. But
you cannot let outside influences push you to such an extent that you're starting to hate life. You know what I mean? I think that's something we all need to take a step back from time to time and evaluate. And I think we've all wrestled with it from time to time, myself included, you know, but I think when you give it that due and you truly search yourself and say, what's important to me? Well, you know, well, I cannot let this affect my life to that extent. You know, I'm not going to lay in, but, oh, it's horrible. You know, don't let that doom and gloom overtake you. And, you know, again, sometimes we always really wrestle with that sort of thing. But, you know, after you get past it and you got some buddies to bring you on through or some good family, then that's something special. You cannot lose sight of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, how about you musically during that? Have you been working on new music? I know last time we talked is right when you had released the your version, the Power Country version of Give It To Me Good, which you've been doing tons of press for, you know, in the last 5 months. You're constantly doing interviews and stuff like that. But have you been working on other like new music or original music or?
You know, it's funny. This directly relates to what we were just saying. I released it. I'm trying to remember the date. I was ramping up to release the single and then after releasing the single to release a video. And I was planning on filming a video at Bike Week in April of this past year. And I had a live setup. I had a video director and everything's all set, ready to go. It's going to be a big thing. I had to film it at Bike Week. It would have been freaking huge. It would have been amazing. And then Absolutely. Bike Week got canceled and everything got shut down. I went to guys that own clubs and catering halls, things like that. I said, I need a place to do this. I can't have the people in the job. And I'm now maybe I'm a little small-minded. Maybe I just am too focused on this idea, but I need to do a live video to show what this concept is all about. So I right at the inception of this whole thing, I got depressed. I was like, come on, man. I put all this energy into it. I've got this vision. It's going to kick butt. And, you know, so a perfect example. We were wrestling with the idea of, oh, everything sucks. And then I snapped out of it, you know. So I've got a wrap-up idea. And it's not going to be a quick little thing. Nothing's coming out this weekend. But I got to tell you, over the next few months here, I think you're going to see something. And I'm really starting to get excited again, you know, where I was so passionate, so rocking. I kind of lost some of that. I really did, you know. And you can't lose sight of the things that drive you. And I think that's what's happened to so many people by having things closed down, by having life changed, by putting a mask on. It has ruined the drive and the soul of the country. Aside of financially, put aside the economical ramifications, you know, which are horrible to begin with, you know, it has destroyed the psyche of the people. And you sometimes wonder whether it was engineered then. No, I don't know. It's something to think about.
But absolutely.
I will not allow that to happen to me. And my friends, you know, they will not allow that to happen to them as well, you know. So I want to try to maintain a level head. I have a certain message I'd like to get through. And I'm not being cryptic as far as a message, but a certain, you know, vibe I want to portray when I make a video. Because it's going to be not just your regular rock band. I promise you that. So to do it that way, this is a concept that needs to be seen. So it has to be, I truly believe it needs to be done in a particular fashion. And come next summer when the festivals kick back in, you know, let's see where I'm going to be.
Interesting.
We're going to have some fun. Yeah, but at the end of the day, I want to have some fun. I want to do it right. We're going to, you know, if I'm going to waste my time and energy doing something, I'd like to make some kind of impact. So,
yeah, I mean, your whole persona, your whole vibe is very, yes, you know, happy, good. It's
I don't know what you're talking about. What?
No, not at all. Not at all.
I'm somewhat of a subdued individual.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You sure you're not Nick in the middle here talking? Nick is the subdued one.
Nick looks hot. Look at him, dude. He's like the man.
I'm very relaxed.
He's like Big Paulie from Goodfellas. Yeah, Paulie didn't move very fast. That's because he didn't have to.
Oh man. So how about during this whole thing, and it wasn't related to the pandemic or COVID or anything, but the rock and roll world, we lost not only an amazing person, but a true amazing drummer, Mr. Frankie Benali. I wanted to get your thoughts on Frankie. Did you know Frankie? Have you played, jammed with him, hung with him at all? Or
I'll tell you what, I find it interesting. Back in the old days when we were literally meeting everybody, Quiet Riot was a band we never met. So when just a few years ago, maybe 5 years ago, we did a show with Quiet Riot, I got to sit down while Frank was having dinner and chat with him for a bit, and he was super, super nice. And yeah, at that time, he looked great. He was healthy. He played fantastic. He mm-hmm. was super friendly, very nice. And just the weirdness that, we've both been all over the place, him so much more so. But the idea that he actually wanted to take time and chat, what a nice, nice guy, And I think it's really cool, particularly as we've gone through our journey of doing everything from going from here to here, back down here, you see character come out in people. I've seen this. I've seen people that are somewhat aloof, maybe early on, that over time you see them really grow into a person. And I see this guy, Frank Benali. He was a guy that was a true, rounded, great guy. And yeah, I think when you see that genuinely, that mm-hmm. strikes you. And yeah, that's what struck me about him. Yeah, I loved the way he played drums. Yeah, the songs were classic. Yeah, he inspired me. I practiced his stuff in the basement. You know what I mean? But to sit down and talk with the guy and see, he wasn't giving you fluff. Hey, yeah, man, all right, I'll see you later. He yeah, was just really down to earth. And I valued that time that I spent with him. And I didn't know him that well. No, I didn't. But having the time to spend with him that I did and actually get to meet the guy, they said, now that's one guy I really wish I would have met. I never did till just yeah, 5 years ago. We actually played a show together. And that was really cool. And he was a class act, true, great person. And I wish I knew him better. I really did.
Yeah, I hear you. I got the chance to meet him a couple of times, and he did have like a true sincerity when you met him. Like
yes,
he wasn't just a handshake and nice to meet you, blah 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 blah.
Right, particularly how about so yes, many LA people can be. You know what I yeah, mean? He did totally not fit that stereotype. He certainly did yeah, not.
Yeah,
and absolutely, that was very refreshing, very cool. And I quite honestly, I would have expected that other attitude, and he totally surprised me, and I think that's really what made an impact. He was a good man, real good man, yeah, and certainly taken much too soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Shame, yeah, man. It's a shame. That whole thing just.
Yeah, I know it. I know it.
Helps you out. So, well, something else that's been bumming me out, and
dude, you're just bringing the whole day down. Shit, you know how to start a Monday, babe. I'm never booking an interview with you again on a Monday. Holy crap. Man, I'm rocking right now. Another thing that really
helps. Well, somehow I got.
Didn't you tell me you got laid last night before we went on here?
Hey,
I guess maybe it wasn't that good.
Oh. Hey now.
I'm taking over this interview. Tell us, Mr. Ragney, what was your sexual experience like last night? Is there some details you could describe or share with us that might be for the greater good?
You might have to wait for the book.
Hopefully there's illustrations.
So I indirectly got caught up into this little
He indirectly got laid last night.
I indirectly got caught up into this whole world of trickster and things that are happening. And it started a few months back when I got to interview Steve for the first time, Steve Brown of Trickster, guitar player. And, when it was presented to me, I said to myself, I have to ask, naturally, as I ask you all the time. So what's going on with Trickster? And I said to Steve, I said, hey, you know, we're going to tackle this right up front before we get into your new album and everything else you're up to. I said, but I want to let you know too, like I've become friends with Mark over the last 4 or 5 years. He's done my show many times. We've have an amazing relationship. And you know, I have to ask because I know the fans want to know. And I said, you know, what's going on with Trickster? Is there going to be any you guys getting back together, you know, for next year, 30th anniversary of the album? And, you know, I'm going to quote him. His response was, and I actually wrote it down, so I have it quoted right. And when he said it, I was like, oh, shit. he said, there's nothing I'm going to give to you. And the next time you talk to him, tell him to go fuck himself from the bottom of my heart. And I was like, all right, so we're going to leave it at that.
We're passing that along.
And I gave you a heads up. I shot you a message afterwards. I said, yo, I said, you know, this is going to be hitting, and I just want to let you know this is what happened. And then I got to interview PJ 2 weeks ago for his new solo album. And the story was picked up on Blabbermouth, and his was a lot nicer. But PJ said, let me, as the headline, I saw the headline. I was like, oh, here we go. PJ Farley compares being in a band with Mark Gus Scott as to owning a disobedient dog was the headline. And, he said, and this was on Blabbermouth, and I quote, Mark Gus Scott is on the shit list beyond belief with the rest of the band right now. Sometimes you let the dog off a leash and he just goes running in the middle of the street. It's no good. I had a miniature pincher and I loved that dog with all my heart, he explained. But he was a son of a bitch. I used to have a magnet on my fridge and said, I'm a good dog. I just do bad things. So it's just one of those situations. So it seems you're a bad dog, Mark.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
We'll keep that in mind for a second.
Okay.
But I think sometimes, and I don't know if the bad dog is the best analogy, the best manner in which to visualize what's happened with Trickster. One thing I can tell you is that any conflict within the band wasn't something that just happened on one day. It was not triggered by one event that happened this day and the dog ran out in the middle of the street and got hit by a car or whatever, caused an accident. Right. No. That certainly is not the case. I think there's been different ideologies within the band for a very, very long time. You know, again, we've been together over 30 years.
Right.
So I think there's always been, I don't want to say a rift, but more recently, if there was a rift, it was certainly becoming more and more or exponentially growing. Mm-hmm. I was always the typical kind of person that was backseat as far as responsibility. I didn't want to be the guy in the business meeting. I wanted to be the guy on the drum stool, kicking ass, having fun. Right. You know, I did not have a passion for that leadership. I really did not. That being said, I think what I learned over time was I certainly had no tolerance for someone that was inept and did not offer that true, I could not be led by ignorance. Okay. I needed a bona fide leader, not someone, you know. So when I saw flags going up of leadership being in question, the direction that wasn't directed towards me, but for the whole band, I think mm-hmm. that needs to be clear. When I say leadership, not just someone telling me what to do or whatever, that was immaterial. I was concerned that the steps that were being taken hurt the brand, hurt the band. And when I say the band, that means all four members.
Sure.
You know, that if it's an injustice towards one, it's an injustice towards all of us. You know, that's what wakes me up. That's what gets my attention and motivates me to say, wait a freaking minute.
Right.
You know, and I think the American people are also something very similar, particularly with today's election that we have, the president that we have in front. I think part of the phenomenon of what's going on in our political climate today is that not everybody knows everything about politics, but they know when they're getting screwed. I think they know when they're getting screwed. And they truly believe that they need someone to be on their best, you know, on their best front. And I think some people believe very strongly that the person in office today is the man who's got their back, you know, that's going to be able to lead them through this crap and not get screwed and not, you know, lead you down a path of America that we don't want to be. Right. So now maybe I'm getting a bit, you know, taken away, but I think you understand the point I'm trying to make. Whether it's business, whether it's life, I think we all have core elements that resonate with us. And when I see things being done in a way that can be detrimental, not just to me, but to everyone.
Yeah.
That I truly believe is unacceptable, particularly in something that I'm so passionate about, like trips, like rock and roll, like playing, doing, you know, doing things the right way. I truly believe you have to do things in a certain fashion to breed a certain result. And if you did not, everybody has different ways of operating. That's fine. But if the manner in which you operate results in reduced capability of your brand and diminishing what you've worked so hard to build,
sure,
that is in everybody's best interest not to be a part.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm trying to choose my words somewhat carefully because I don't want to misrepresent the situation. Hey, look, I've not been a perfect angel. I'll admit that. But let me tell you something, pal. It takes a real fucking cocksucker to wake me up to even give a shit. You know, so when certain people make certain moves or they don't care in the fashion that they should, when we're playing three shows a year and let's say the past 10, well, we put it back together 2008 through 2007, I think was our last show, about 10 years. We played an average of 16 shows a year in a year that has 52 weekends.
Right.
Okay. Now, if you're going to choose your shows that carefully, you can't just do it for a nip. And when you elect to do so, you diminish your brand. And the idea that we had so much opportunity and to squander it and you elect to do something else. Everybody has the right to do whatever they want. But to not even talk about it, to not even discuss the idea or formulate some kind of plan to do something, that's hurting your brothers. And not even tell them what you're going to be doing. You know,
I'm just
throwing little crumbs out there.
But. Yeah, I was going to say, like, when... you know, in the modern day and age of the music business now where, you know, and it's like that with every band, there people are doing multiple different projects. When that goes on, is there any communication like, you know, from a Steve or a PJ or even a Pete, if he was doing something like, hey, you know, this is what I got on my schedule. This is what I'm going to do. You know, is everybody okay with that? And the same goes for you. Like when you decided to do a cover version of Trickster's song, do you like go to the guys and say, hey, this is what I want to do. Are you guys cool with that? Is there like a communication like that? Or is that what you're saying? It should be like that.
Should be like that. Yes. And I think, you know, it's funny. Somebody made a mention about something the other day. One thing they really liked about Trickster, when they see us in interviews and we're doing something all together, we're laughing, making jokes, and everybody's having a great time. And you know what? That is a core element of what we're all about. When the conversation attempts to turn towards a business meeting, it's a non-existent sort of thing. And if you're going to do things on the level that Trickster ought to be doing it, then guess what? You know, that should be some part of the conversation. And when everybody attempts to avoid that, that is truly detrimental to the whole damn thing. And particularly when there's so much at stake in the sense that we have some incredible opportunities and many of which we don't exercise. You know, the idea that we went to Japan, played two shows, almost went gold and never went back. It's just one thing, you know. I believe it. There's a list of stuff and I can nitpick, but that's not it. It's at the end of the day, the best buddies that we've known each other, brothers, family, we did not even want to talk about these things. If someone wanted to do something, they went up and did it without letting anybody else know about it. That one day, me and Pete flipping through a Japanese magazine, we see a full page ad, Stephen PJ is going to Japan. We're like, zoinks? Really?
Yeah.
Now, again, I don't want to just take a singlet and say, that's why. It's more than that. You know? There used to be a time where nothing was taboo to discuss. Wasn't the sort of thing that a dictator mentality, city hall mentality prevailed over the management of Trickster? That's ridiculous. Sums up. Yo, boys, all right. It's all good. you know? But to do so in a fashion that's cloaked in who knows what, and, you know, you feel that I think there's a right way for brothers to act and a right way that they don't act, no matter in which they don't. So the situation was not perpetuated by one instance. That was it. Oh, Gus is dead, you know? It's about several people being a couple of fucking cocksuckers. And unfortunately, it was repeated, you know? And again, I'm the most late. I think you know me by now.
Yeah.
I'm the most laid back act. I like to play drums. I like to party and have fun and kick ass. If we can make a buck doing it, then God bless America. I got no problem with that. You do something to fuck with that. Yeah, that's a shithead fucking dickhead move. So as far as me doing solo stuff, let me tell you something, pal. I didn't say, oh, I have to take some time off because I have to concentrate on my solo. Dude, I did this because I had nothing else to fucking do. Because everybody else is doing something other than Trickster. Trickster is my fucking priority. You know, and people can not dig that, but I didn't care. I believed in the music. I loved what we do. I believe that we have yet to truly reach our highest heights. You know? And
I agree with you.
You know? And at the end of the day, do I think we could be Bon Jovi? Yeah, probably not. You know? But I think we've yet to really reach our potential. I think there's a world market to play to, and there's many people that haven't seen us yet, you know. And I just know indications from mail that I get where the areas of interest are. You know, it's like, gee, we've never been to the Czech Republic. How am I getting so many freaking autograph requests? It's like, you know, I got to send all this stuff out. It's like, God, I should just do my own promotional tour. So. And now, again, these are just little things. It's an ideology that prevailed over the band. I think there's two camps, two different ideologies.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? You know? So where do we go from here? I don't know. A conversation is probably, number one, even before a conversation, you have to make a determination whether desire is there. That's really what it comes down to. If you don't dig doing this, then guess what? You shouldn't be doing it.
Well, and again, like I said early on, we've talked for, you know, 5 years now doing these interviews together. And you've always stated since day one, the desire is there on your part. We know this.
I think anybody could see that, you know, and maybe to the point that it's ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? But what's more ridiculous? Electing to stay home and play a restaurant in New Jersey? You know, and believe me, I don't want to offer a false impression. I mean, I'm not looking to run away on a tour bus for 3 months at a cliff and say, oh, we're going off to rape the world. No, but there's a way. I mean, there's bands out there doing it now. Let's take a look at Warrant, Firehouse, two LA Guns, two Queensrÿche, two Great Whites. How many dates are each one of those guys? You know the list better than I do.
Yeah.
You know, these guys are playing in excess of 60 shows a year plus.
Yeah,
we did 16.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's no possible way that we could, you know, possibly be on that. No, not at all. With a world market to play, not a 52 weekends. Come on. So it's interesting, you know. It's interesting, and again, it comes down to desire. But even before desire and vision, you know.
Right.
You know, you put four guys together, you're going to get something out of it. These guys have been done a lot, but I think there is something referred to as scotoma, a dimness of vision in certain areas, and they're locked in a certain way of thinking. I think certain people have been doing what their parents did, or, you know, they follow a certain standard of living where they have to get a job and make your weekly pay to pay your mortgage, as opposed to another guy that says, I'm going to start a business. I'm going to buy a freaking apartment complex. You know what I'm saying? So. Yeah. There's different schools of thought. And if you have one mentality that's stuck in that mentality, to bring them over to, you know, can be a very difficult thing and can sometimes end up in rifts like this.
When this has happened, when you see these, you know, these blabbermouth articles pop up and your name gets, you know, thrown out there like that, how does it make you feel when you first read these articles? Or hear these interviews.
I'll be honest with you. I thought I would have seen something. Let's keep that in mind for a second. How has it not happened in the past 3 years? I find that interesting. Why now? I think there's a level of frustration within them on certain things, and maybe that's growing. Where, you know, mine's just going so far the other way. I'm just concentrating on, you know, other avenues. Maybe that bothers me. I don't. I somewhat expect it, and I also know how it works a little differently. Maybe I could offer some insight. When people see the headline "Mark Gus got the dick" or something like that, the guy does a 45-minute interview, and inside of 45 seconds, he might say a quote like that, and that's what gets the headline, and that's what gets promoted. So it looks like they started a campaign against Mark Gus got it. You know what I mean? And I don't believe that's accurate. I really don't. You know, but I believe they said such things. So I read it. And I also remember the age old quote from Gene Simmons: "Hey, any press is good press."
Exactly.
But you know what's funny? It's funny that when they talk about me, that's what gets the headline. So, nevertheless, you know, there's some things to ponder. Am I surprised? No, I'm really not. And have I been a perfect angel within the bed? No, I have not. When I do something wrong, or I do something that you know. No, but certainly not without catalysts, certainly not without some kind of event to trigger my actions.
Right.
So wasn't just a crazy dog running off on his own without knowing better and running into the middle of the street. Certainly fucking not. And if you were a good fucking master, then you should have held on to that leash a little fucking tighter, tough guy. So nevertheless.
So when these things come to your attention, do you or have you reached out to either Steve or PJ? Have you talked to Pete about the situation?
I've talked to Pete, and I got to say, you know, being that you brought it up, one thing I will say that probably has not made the situation better, I'll assume responsibility for. I haven't talked to Steve and PJ in over 3 years. I'm about 3 years now. You know. That certainly doesn't help. Guilty. I am guilty of that. Absolutely.
You know? Let's add them on here right now.
Hey, you know, I'm open. But again, I think before a conversation, you got to, and here's the real tough problem. I believe even while we were doing our thing, those guys were not prioritizing the band. And if they don't want to prioritize the band, that's an American God-given right. Well, you should talk to somebody about it. Because it's going to affect our lives too, you know, and particularly with the opportunities that we had, the so much that was given to us. And look, I don't want to just keep rattling off things, but I'm going to give some things I'm going to stand by very strongly. When we did our first record when we got it back together, New Audio Machine on Frontiers Records, Pete, I remember the day Steve came up to me, I was in my restaurant. He goes, "Dude, we're going to make a record." And I said, "Oh, Jesus Christ. We're going to have a problem." Why did I say act like that? How many of your heroes from back in the 80s came out with records after 2000? And you remember the days where you used to get that new record, your favorite band, and you're like, "Oh my God, I can't believe you put it on." It sounds freaking great. Holy cow. When's the last time you heard a record after 2000 from one of your heroes and got that feeling? You've been disappointed more times than you could even count. I was so scared that Trickster was going to fall into that lump. I was so concerned. I didn't want to put out a record just because we were back and put out a record. Put out some great. So when Steve said, "Oh, man, we're put out a record," I said, "Oh, Jesus Christ." He says, "Let me show you some demos." I said, "Okay, let's see what he got. Let's see what he got." He played the first one. I was like, "Oh, shit." I said, "Listen to that riff. Listen to that melody. Like, holy shit. You like that? I got another one." I go, "Listen," he cranks it up. "Holy shit, that sounds fucking great." When you bring it, and let me tell you something, one thing I cannot knock, Steve has been my favorite guitar player since I saw him play when he was 12 fucking years old. Brought me up to his bed. Another funny story. I think it was 11 or 12 fucking years old. We're riding BMX bicycle. He goes, "I play guitar, man." I go, "Oh God, the kid's short. You know, he's on, he can't ride a BMX bicycle so because it's small." And he goes, I play guitar. I'm like, "Oh, come on. How good could this fucking kid play guitar?" He goes, "Come on over, I'll show you." Lived just less than a mile away. So I was, "All right, you know, whatever." Follow him. And he's going up the staircase because he lived on the second floor. And the way he jumped up the stairs, it was kind of like on all fours, you know, like going up there. I'm like, "Oh, Jesus, how could this kid possibly play the guitar. You know what I'm saying? There's no way. I'm wasting my time. I should have just ridden my bicycle and not, you know. And he pulls out the guitar. It's bigger than him. I go, now I know I wasted my time. Well, you know, what I got? He plugs in, ripped my fucking head off. Holy shit. At that young age, he played better. My babysitter at the time, a few years back, took me to a backyard barbecue and her brother played electric guitar. I saw a real rock and roll band for the first time. And I was like, whoa, that's cool. Steve, at 11, 12 fucking years old, kicked the shit out of that fucking guy. And I swear to God, his hand was going so fast, it blurred. I couldn't even see what was going on. AC/DC, Kiss riffs, knocking the shit. I said, what the? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And to this day, he has remained my favorite guitar player, not just by amazing wizardry and technical whatnot, but he puts his heart and aggression and everything he does into those. That's a fucking guitar player, man. He's the fucking best. Love that motherfucker. PJ, when he joined the band, he was fucking 15, I think. You know, I let him drive my car at 16. He hit a fucking wall. You know, but and from that kid, he grew into a producer, plays bass like a motherfucker. Me and him, by his late brother, Pat Farley, he said, when he and I played together, it's like a trigger. Bam, we were so fucking locked up. There's something special when two guys get together and make that fucking happen musically. It was an honor to play with that motherfucker every day. But let me tell you this, my friend, how much I love them. I could also look them in the eye and call them, those are two cock fucking sucking motherfuckers that can really fucking piss me the fuck off. And not because of bad things they say in the press, but some of the things they've done to fucking put a rift in this band. And that, sir, is inexcusable and intolerable. And I think something should be done about it. And I don't mean retribution. I mean something positive. Yeah. You know? I don't want to just get people confused, some of these timid fucking minds out there. You know? And again, in the past, I could give a fuck. Oh, when's the next gig? Let's play. Come on. Can I get some Red Bull and vodka, please? That was more important. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Just wanted to kick the shit out of them every night. That's the only thing I cared about. However, you put a detriment into putting what I value so greatly and what I have great belief for, because you marginalize that? What are you, out of your fucking mind? Out of your fucking mind? How do you not see that so much more, you know, you elect to do something else of lower caliber? It's like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, I've said this to you over the years too, like, you know, and exactly what you're saying, but I have always felt, you know, take a Nikki Sixx, for instance. Nikki has had Motley Crue for, you know, 40 years now, almost 40 years, and that has been the number one priority. Not only plus that is the super group, but that's what brings the income in. That's what brings the money in. That's what gives him the life that he's able to lead to do, whether he wants to do Brides of Destruction or 6 a.m. or 1958 or any other goofy thing he wants to do, or if he wants to be a photographer for the next year or write books. It gives him the opportunity to do that, but he can do Motley Crue and come in and not only make his income, but make the fans happy. And I don't see why Steve and PJ wouldn't want to do the same thing. Like you're saying, do Trickster, do these festivals, make a new album. If you can make a new album with another band or a solo album, which is great. But look at Michael Sweet. Michael Sweet can go and do a Striper and do Sweet and Lynch and right. Sweet this one.
Let me stop you there for 1 second. You're touching on a couple points, but there's something a little deeper, man. It ain't about the fucking money. It's not about the money. Money is the byproduct of success. We never did this because we're going to make them $10 million. This is the way we're going to do it. It wasn't fucking even part of the conversation. No matter what you do in life, you want to be a fucking garbage man, be the best fucking garbage man. Guess what? You're going to be fucking rich. You know, it was, but you don't concentrate just on the money. When we put this there, did we dream of having Rolls Royces and shit? Yeah, sure, but that wasn't the reason. I wanted to just kick the shit out of my drums and fucking play some great goddamn songs with my brothers, you know? That's what it was about. How can we do that more? How can we do that on bigger stages? How can we open up for Kiss? You know, stuff like that. That was it. And if you did that right, then, yeah, you know, we're going to get paid. God bless. But we didn't say, okay, boys, we need to have a financial meeting. Get the account. So we need to account for everything. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Money is the byproduct of success. All right. Let's just get that. I truly believe that in my heart. And no matter what you do it right, money's going to follow. All right. So when you say he did the album, just that, the other, we did an album. We came back, so, you know, back to our conversation about Steve with the demos for New Audio Machine. And I was so knocked out. I went very quickly from saying, oh God, I'm concerned about doing a record, to like, holy crap, we're doing a record. And the more we did, the better it fucking sounded. Pete laid the vocals on the thing. I was like, holy shit, this sounds really fucking good. You know, that I got excited. You know, instead of one of those records that I heard from my heroes back in the day that came out, I was like, you know, I said, holy shit, this stuff's really good. Not because it was us, it was great material. We really made it blossom, which is awesome.
Right.
But when it time for it to come out, and I had a pocket full of money, and I said, hey guys, I'll hire a freaking PR guy to really push what the record company effort's doing. And you know what they said? They said, what do you want to do that for? I didn't want them to contribute. I said, I believed in the project to that extent that I would have put my money where my mouth was. I said, I believe, and I was not a primary writer. You know, I certainly had a smaller financial interest in it as opposed to the rest of the guys who did more writing than I did. You know, I loved playing the drums. I had minor contributions to the thing, you know, but realistically, the idea was making the brand benefit. It wasn't a selfish thing. I didn't care about me. I said, this is fucking worth it. This is worthy of the investment of my, you know, I truly believe in this. And if I was wrong, I would have done it anyway, because I believe it, you know? Right. Album comes out, number 56 on iTunes. Why don't we give it another little push? Gee, I guess maybe it wasn't worth it. What do you want to do that for, Gus? Let's talk about fucking stupid. You want to talk about it? You see what I'm saying? So, and now I'm trying to paint a picture and make me the wonderful person. I'm just offering you a reflection of some things that have happened in the past. So it's something to think about. It's kind of weird. But at the end of the day, when you go back to the Nikki Sixx story and things like that, they don't just do it to make the primary money. Maybe they really had a core belief in doing something. And something really amazing. Get back to the idea of why Motley Crue came together. You know, they wanted to conquer the world. And by putting out another record, it's another part of your kingdom. It's another part of expanding the brand, another part of something more you have to say, something more you feel you need to do, or you have some music that's in your heart. Like when I made my first solo single with you, I couldn't help but not write it. It ripped inside of me. I had to get it out. I had Pete Lauren and Bobby Sisk from Drop Diesel standing by to sing it because I didn't think I had the chops.
Right.
So it's the kind of the music is a selfish labor of love. Sometimes you have this inside and you need to get it out, and you don't do it always for everybody else. It starts with a very selfish something. It can be very selfish. You have it in your head. You hear it a certain way. It makes your heart feel a certain way. And you want to get it down so people can hear and experience that same fucking feeling that you have inside. You know? And it's like me and Pete, when he was doing some of the engineering, and he'd go, oh, Gus, it's perfect. I go, no, man. You got to do it a little way. He's like, no, Gus, it's great. I said, no. When you get passionate about it, it's got to be just fucking right. To get it out there so everybody else could hear and feel exactly what the fuck I'm feeling. I can't get it out any better. So fuck making money with your primary bread. It's about something more, you know? And if the brothers in your band aren't in tune with that ideology, then they're fuck.
Well, how...
Well, you get me all excited. I have too much red. Jesus Christ.
How do you feel, though, like... The vibe that I was kind of getting, like when I talked with PJ, was like the plan is to go out next year as Trickster, and I think it's going to be Eric Martin on vocals with another drummer.
They've been doing some shows like that now,
but they haven't called it Trickster though, have they? Or
you'll have to ask them.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Yeah. And by the way, I love Eric Martin. He's one of the best singers of rock. I think he's fucking fantastic. I mean, let's get real. He ain't no Pete Lauren. Osama bin Lauren, you know, he's like undercover Al Qaeda, right? That's the real story that I really haven't touched upon. There's a whole hidden thing. We've been working, you know, with intelligence agencies for the past 25 years, trying to root out the evil sleeper cells of Al-Qaeda in America. And that's what Trickster was put together by the intelligence agencies. And that's why we're not together, because Osama bin Laden has fallen. You notice that timing? Trickster broke up right around that time. Oh, now
you're that's why it. Pete is always so quiet about everything.
Hiding. He's hiding like the dog he is in the mountains of Arizona. Oh, he's in there. I'm going to find him. I got some new pictures. Oh, yeah. You think I'm kidding, right? Let me tell you something, pal. You see him here? Yeah. Him hiding, plain sight. That's it. Got more. Here's a recent photograph taken by satellite, stolen from his cell phone. Pete Lorne, a member of Al-Qaeda. We shall bring him down. We will not cower in the fear of terror. We will not. Pete Lorne, we're coming for you. He's the reason. That bastard. Oh, yeah.
He caused all this. It's all his fault.
Well, this information was brought to me by Special Agent McAndrews of the FBI. And that you can quote me on that, because I'll tell you what, he has brought this situation to light, and now the truth's coming out. This is why Trickster is not together any longer. The intelligence agency won't finance us anymore. So everybody's scattered. I think PJ picked something up with the NSA. Steve is working with the Illuminati, and Peter's hiding in the mountains of Arizona. And I am committed to bringing him to justice. I will not rest. God bless our troops. Trump 2020. Thank you.
So at this point,
come on, that's some funny shit, man.
It's absolutely funny. You should be doing stand up. Will there be a stand up?
I'm sitting down right now. So,
well, you can do stand up while sitting.
Hey, what a great idea for a record. Stand up while sitting. I got to play with that. While sitting. Yeah, on a toilet.
So at this point, because we know this interview will be on Blabbermouth probably within 24 hours, will you reach out to anybody? You think they'll reach out to you? Will something?
You know, one thing I always say, who knows what the future may bring? If I say one thing now, it could be 180 degrees by tomorrow. Yeah. I don't know. But one thing I think has to be done right off the bat is to gauge desire. I don't care if there was a nuclear meltdown in the U.S. If individuals have a desire to do something, they will conquer any obstacle. So it comes down to what the real desire is, you know? And it shouldn't just be about making a buck. You do your process right, the money ought to chase you down the road. You know what I'm saying? That's the byproduct of success. You know, you fuck the money. I made more money out of Trickster than Trickster. I mean, you know what I mean? So God bless. And but I'd rather be doing it with Trickster.
I hear you.
So, yeah. You know, my money is shit. Listen, dude, I'm one of the few people that knows what it's like to make $1 million and spend $1 million more than once. So don't get me started on that fucking conversation. How the hell am I smiling? But you know, it's like, you know why? You know how I'm still smiling? Because there's more to life than just the fucking dollar. You do this thing right, that money will chase you to the bank. You know, but it's more important than that. I've been up, I've been down. You know, fucking something more. You know, I when I get on stage every night, I think I give a fuck about the paycheck. Playing is the fucking paycheck, motherfucker. When those lights go down, everybody starts going fucking crazy, and I'm the first fucking crack out of the window. That's what I fucking live for. That's what it's all the fuck about. When we play the best fucking rock, people see it, they hear the song, say, I don't know. They come see us live, they go, oh shit, I didn't fucking expect that. Yeah, that's right, motherfucker. You know? You know what I'm talking about, dude. I'm not trying to give you a bunch of lip service.
Hey,
I'm saying it
because
it's the fucking truth.
I know.
The people that seen the show, they fucking know. So I'm passionate about that. So passionate. Maybe I'm fucking a little crazy. Admittedly so. But I ain't fucking stupid about it. So
I agree.
So at the end of the day, it's going to come down to desire, and it's got to be the desire of all four. We didn't put this, when we put this back together, we did not want to put it back together without every original member as part of this band. That's what made it special. And let me tell you, when we got together, holy shit, how much fucking fun we have. We picked right up like it was nothing. Like, they never fucking, you know, I remember Steve, when we started the conversation, he came with our long lost, God bless, good buddy JD, who filmed it on camera. So this is the filming of that reunion. Steve came to my restaurant. There's JD filming. And I saw Steve like, I haven't seen you in so long. It was so beautiful. You know what I mean? And JD's going to film like, I love you, motherfuckers. Get in here. I'm buying drinks, you know? I mean, that's the essence of what, that's our X factor. Yeah. That's our something special. It is fucking real. To not capitalize on that, to not promote that's something special. You lose sight of that.
Yeah.
How the fuck does that happen? You dumb fucks.
Yeah. You know, it's like if anybody goes, if you're friends with you on Facebook, if you scroll through your Facebook on a daily basis, you are constantly tagged in, you know, Trickster Memories, or if Trickster comes on the radio, people are tagging you in the screenshot of it, you know, and such amazing things you guys accomplished together, you know, and to have that on a daily basis to remind you, like, why aren't they reminded of that as well? You know what I mean? Why don't, like, I feel it when I look at it. I know you, how you feel. I know your feelings towards it. I don't understand how the other guys can't feel that same way.
That what you just said there, that is the biggest thing. How is that possible? Doesn't even make sense, right?
Yeah.
There's so many things that have happened, whether it's business, whether it's friends, whether it's no matter throughout. Are you? There's so many things. Like, how's that possible?
Yeah.
And at a certain point, it shouldn't be possible. It shouldn't have happened that way. And how to rectify it when you don't even understand how something happened? How do you fix it? You know. So there's some weirdness. And at the end of the day, to put anything back together, there has to be desire, no matter what the problem is. And I'm guilty of some of it for sure. I do not absolve myself. Yeah. I am no perfect angel. Honestly. And I'm going to tell you something. There's never been a chance that I lie to anybody about it.
Right.
I certainly don't profess to be perfect. Except for my amazing drum skill. Come on. Oh, getting inside. You know, I think I'm pretty real with people. You know, and I'm pretty much an open book, maybe sometimes more than I should be. But at the end of the day, nobody loves this band more than I do. I did not invent this band. I fucking love it. And I see so much that is yet to be done. I got to tell you one thing. These motherfuckers don't even know how to have fun. We got to. Well, that's not entirely accurate. But I think I have a couple of tricks I'd like to show.
I think that just needs to be the whole next step, no matter what, is just and you've said it many times. You guys, no matter what, are brothers, and the four brothers need to have some type of communication. Whether there's music or Trickster ever again, you know what? Of course, we all would love that. But regardless, like, there's got to be the brotherhood and friendship brought back together.
Listen, I'd love to, it would be a great PR line to say, oh, we want to do it just for the fans. I'm going to be very honest with you. Remember I said, like, songwriting is kind of like a selfish art. Mm-hmm. Well, the embryo of starting the band is an internal thing. It has to be just the four members. You have to possess that desire before you could accommodate taking care of fans. Yeah. You know what I mean? Now, once we have that locked down, all four guys say, this is what we want to do, and here's how we're going to make it happen for the fans. You know what I'm saying? But I hate to say it. Right now, it's not about putting the fans first. And I wish I could say that nicer, but it's the truth.
If
band can't get their shit together, it's kind of immaterial. Anything else is immaterial. You know?
I agree. Agreed.
Yeah,
and I think the fans would totally agree.
Give you a nice polished line, say, "Oh, we're in it for the fans, man." Do we? Of course we are. Of course we want. But without them, we're nothing, you know. But also without our own heads on fucking straight, we're nothing. So, you know, we have to straighten our own fucking heads out first, and really make the determination whether this is something we really want to do. And here's something. Do you know how 30 years ago, how fortunate we were? How the combination of luck, determination, stupidity, great leadership came into play and bringing us, and timing. There's so many elements that gave us a gift from God. And guess what? Well, after we broke up, we put it back together 15 years later, we got to do it again. Mm-hmm. You know how fucking lucky we are to have that in our lives, to have that experience, to do it all together twice.
Yeah.
Now, to have that second chance and not really do it right and fucking value that, what are you, a fucking asshole? Okay, I'm going to calm down now.
Calm down. Calm down.
I'm trying, babe.
So in the meantime, while you're trying to get calm, and what will you be doing for the future of Marcus Scott? Now, I like you said, is there going to be new music for us soon?
I do have a couple of songs, but prior to that, I truly believe a live video for me is going to be something that needs to be done. I'm locked in this channel of thinking, and I try to be objective, say maybe there's a different way, but you know what? I just don't see it. This project that I'm doing is not just a regular rock band. It is not just four or five guys on stage playing. No, this is a fucking production, and it's a very hard thing to put into verbal sense, but inside of 5 seconds of seeing it on stage, you're going to go, holy shit, now I get it. And people have to see this. I have to put this in a video where people understand what the fuck's going on. And I intend to conquer stages in the festival arenas in country and rock. And this is going to be a goddamn production. And this is something that's going to bring people together. Something that's going to be great. And you know what? It's going to make you feel good.
Nice.
It's going to be really something special. But that has to be presented in a video format. You cannot just say, well, let me go down the checklist and tell me what's going on here. No. At the end of the day, it's just got to fucking rock. It's got to feel great and say, I want to see that. So that is my mission, to put those ideologies into a clip about 3.5 minutes long, and I want to knock your fucking ass on the ground. It's going to be a hell of a party, I swear to God. It's going to be something really special, and it's going to be a little naughty, too. So,
I expect nothing else, or nothing less from you.
Yeah, so timing, let's see how we could do it. But things are starting to come around. Shows are starting to come back. I think we're certainly traveling on the right track. And I've got Tony Noyes, the best video producer in Phoenix, to freaking make it happen with me, winner of several movie awards and some real strong alliances. I'm really looking forward to some of the talent we're going to be putting on that stage. And it's going to be a fucking show, man. It's going to be fun. And you know what? It's going to take a lot of work. And I was not always the guy that wanted to put that kind of work in. I'm the guy who bought a fucking restaurant and worked over 70 hours a week at this fucking place. I never wanted to do that. But you know
why? Why would you want to do that?
This is the funny part. This is the funny part. I mean, there's a backstory to the whole thing also. But at the end of the day, when you're doing something you really dig, it ain't work. I never wanted to work that hard. I got into a rock and roll band that ended up playing 7 days a week, renting buses so we could go all over the freaking country. And I, you know, the hours I would work on a trickster gig? Wasn't just playing the show, motherfucker, you know? Right. I didn't go home for 3.5 months. And people go to work 9 to 5. Well, I didn't go home for 3.5 fucking months at a clip.
Yeah.
Now, I elected to do that. And you know what? I absolutely fucking loved every goddamn minute of it. My hands were fucking bleeding. I tried writing a love letter to my sweetheart, and I couldn't write the fucking letter because my hands hurt so fucking much. And that's what I elected to do the next night. I paid people to keep me on time and get me to the fucking stage and make sure my shit's set up so we could fucking rock them. Took it all over the fucking world, motherfucker. 5 fucking times on our first goddamn tour we went across America. I want to do it again. Now, I'm not saying I'm 23 years old, or I'm not looking to go away for 3.5 months at a time. That's unrealistic, and that's not really what I want to do. I want to do fucking something. Don't want to just fucking me in general. So it's not a matter about working 70 hours. It's like, give me something to fucking do that makes an impact. Let's fucking really do. If we're going to waste our fucking time and effort doing anything, let's do something fucking right. Nick, calm down over there. What are you doing? Jesus Christ.
You know what? I'm just taking it all in because...
You have pants on?
Jesus.
Right. Give that man a Kleenex.
Oh man,
dude, he's the man behind the fuck. I see what's going on there, dude. You guys got it going on. I ain't messing with you, no sir.
So somebody just asked Mark, and this is a pretty interesting question too. Like, you, being so outspoken and loving to talk, and you are a true character, let's face it. How do you not have your own podcast?
I talked about that with a couple people, but I think there's certain areas I want to put attention in, and certain areas, you know, like, for instance, I love the idea of doing one here and there. To do it consistently, I don't know if I'm really up for it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And honestly, I also believe if I'm going to do something, I want to do it right. You know,
yeah.
I want to do something like, particularly at this stage of the game, you know, yeah. But I like the idea, you know, but there's effort that goes into these things. And either I'm going to have a passion to drive through and really do it, or it's like, you know, I'm not going to just do it half-assed.
Right.
You know, not to mention also, and this is something I recognize that maybe a lot of other people don't. It's not just Bay Ragney who does the show. There's people behind to help make it happen. You know what I mean? A belief in what's going on. So, you know, you have to have people that share that ideology, that share that vision, that have the passion inside to make it all happen. You know, and that have that offer you support. Trickster did not happen just because of the four guys. We had management that believed in us, agents that believed in us, a record company that believed in us, independent promotion people that made it their mission to conquer the world with what we had to offer. We could not have done it alone. You know, that's how right. You do it right. So yeah. I think there's a lot of reasons why I didn't do the podcast, why I haven't done this, why I haven't done that. But I'm concentrating on what I have done and what's going to be done in the future, what needs to be done, and to do it in a certain way that I'm proud of, that two people can come down, believe in, and really dig. You know, that's doing it for the people, you know, don't just do it for myself. Do it for the love, for the whole nine yards, man. I believe if I do it right, people are really going to dig it. They're going to see something. They're going to go, oh, I didn't expect this. And that's going to be the coolest part. It's like, I told you, motherfucker. But, you know, it, in time, and it has to be done just a certain way. It has to be done right. And I really have a pretty clear vision of what I'm looking to do. And it's going to take some work. Yeah, I'm not looking forward. That's the hardest part. Once everybody's got their shit under their belt, then it's just turning the switch and going. But you got to build that machine. And that's not an easy thing. And particularly, I'm looking to have about 14, 15 people on stage. So this is some work. Yeah, now that makes you think, what the fuck is he doing? That's about all I'm going to give you right now. But it ain't not just no little rock band. I'm talking about really putting on a show. It's going to be something very, very special. And I don't think it's really been done like this. And I'm very excited to put, well, I'm excited because I see the final product. Getting it there, that's going to take some work.
But it starts with super intrigued.
Yeah, I'm telling you what, you know, there's some cool stuff, man. I don't want to.
Interesting.
Ah, shoot. You know what happened? Somebody called. This happened once before. Somebody called on my phone here, and it knocked out the audio. I cannot hear you. I'm guessing you can hear me.
But, I can hear you. Yeah.
Okay, I can't hear you. And I don't really know how to fix that unless I call back in. I got to turn that do not disturb on. I keep forgetting that. Where the hell is the do not? All right, there it is. But anyway.
Let's wrap it up. We've been going an hour. I know you can't hear me. Nah. All right. Let's.
I think I got you a little bit. Say something.
Got it.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, you're really diminished.
Well, let's wrap it up. Why don't you put your plugs out there? And we've been going in for an hour now, so let's wrap it up.
Well, Ben, I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. Totally Driven Entertainment. God bless Nick. Thank you for having me. God bless America. Godfather Nick. In the middle of Father and Phineas, put it the south. Amen.
All right, man.
But I appreciate it. It's great talking with you, man, anytime. And I'll tell you, as soon as we got new developments, I will keep you in the loop, my friend. And, man, you know, the listeners, the people who have supported us through the years, I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. You know, the love that they give makes it all worthwhile. That's why we do this. It's a beautiful goddamn thing.
Yeah, you know, I would say, like, I would love to organize you, Steve, PJ, and Pete to sit down with us all and talk. But I think you guys need to talk amongst yourselves first.
I love the idea. And again, I'm pretty open about that sort of stuff. But, yeah, there's some crap that we've got to clear up before anything happens, I think. And number one, again, the first step is to gauge where people's desire are with this. And at the end of the day, if someone doesn't really have a strong desire to do it, then it's probably not going to happen. That's sad. But if that's a choice that you wish to make, then, you know, and that's another thing. But the guy, one of the guys in the band say, you know, I really don't want to do that. I respect that.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not going to say, you're an asshole because you don't want to do it, man. You're letting all the fans down, man. No. This is life. And we all make decisions on how we're going to live that life. And no one person should tell you how to live your life. So if you believe in a different fashion, I respect that. But don't not fucking tell people about it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right? Particularly your closest fucking brothers who would be there for you in the middle of a night to bury the fucking bloody gun. Did I say that on air?
You did.
Oh, man. Well, Mark, my friend, always great to talk to you. You know, thank you for doing this. And, you know,
hey, thank you for having me. I love you, bro. Thanks so much. Nick, thank you again. Totally Driven Entertainment. Number one. Wow. Inumero five. Thanks, guys. Have a great day. Thanks for having me.
You too. Take care,
Mark. We'll talk to you soon, brother.
You got it.